How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen. I'm singing it because in celebration of Craig David's new song.
Craig David's back.
Craig David is back.
For any of our listeners that aren't from the UK, you won't know or care about this man.
Oh, I think he's international.
Is he?
Oh, I'd imagine.
Craig,
yeah, I would have thought so. He's a big listener to this.
He's a big fan of the podcast.
People don't realise, but Craig David loves to listen to queer-centric podcasts. He loves podcasts.
Big fan of podcasts.
Big fan of it.
I knew a girl once that had a fling with him. She said she looked in his wardrobe and there were hundreds of pairs of white trainers and he only wore them like once or twice.
What, he had disposable trainers?
Yeah. I think if I got really rich, I would throw away my socks every day.
Yes, Frank Sinatra did that.
Did he?
We've mentioned this on the podcast.
Really? Okay. I always feel like I'm the first person that's come up with that idea, but I'm probably
well,
not.
Well, have we mentioned that? I feel like we must have mentioned it at some point. Also,
because we talk about Frank Sinatra so frequently on the show.
The thing is, it always veers from either, as we were saying beforehand, Teenage Reptile Club.
The fact that I was a member of Reptile Club. Sure.
Which you said we always talk about. I don't think we talk about it nearly enough. And which came from when you were saying about, as you called it, Les Iguanas, the bar chain.
It's a Mexican food restaurant and they email me consistently, but I call them Les Iguanas, which sounds like a lesbian
Reptile Club.
Reptile Club. Les Iguanas, come, bring your reptiles.
Les Iguanas. And it serves tapas as well. Does it serve tapas in there? What is their thing?
Like, Mexican there's a lot of places food.
Is it just Mexican food or is it, I feel like it's got like, hasn't it got like a samba beat or something?
Well, yeah, they've probably got a samba beat. You can't ignore that calypso rhythm.
I don't know. I feel like, what is their brand? I like it. Nice tiling.
They do cocktails quite well.
I feel like they do a lot of cocktails. And I think they stay open quite late.
Okay, well, listen. As ever, a strong on-theme to start to the show.
So you're going to tell people that we actually got some feedback that says we should be more structured.
Okay, it's from a friend, not just one of you listeners.
You could phone in with feedback. I would love that if everybody phoned in.
Everyone, all of you phoned in. So, yes. Tom, this week, what's our subject?
I am hungover.
Tom's hungover. Tom, why are you hungover?
I went out last night to see my dear friend, Rob Beckett, who I went to school with. And he said, come out, I'll be there with my brother and a few other people from where we went to school. And then I went there and then I tried to blend in with everyone. So I had pints in this pub. Oh, vodka, lime and soda.
Yeah. Or a gin and tonic?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. It can be quite fattening, a gin and tonic, I think.
Oh, really? God, drank loads.
You ate loads of... No, I don't think it's... I don't think it's fat. I mean, fattening. No. Anyway. So I was like, what beer shall I have to the barman secretly? Because I didn't want everyone to know that I don't really know anything about beer or what the difference between beer and lager is. And he went, well, this one's quite nice. It's quite sweet. It's a bit like mead. So I went, I'll have that.
Mead? I don't know anyone that's drunk mead.
Since Elizabeth the First.
Yeah.
Well, now you do. And let me tell you, dear listeners, I do not recommend having 3 pints of that. It was so strong, I found out when I was stumbling around Lewisham, where Rob's brother kicked me out of his BMW. He didn't kick me out, he gave me a lift to there. But stumbling around trying to order an Uber...
That is tricky.
Looking into the deserted swimming pool there, which there's nothing more haunting than a deserted swimming pool, may I say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just always think there's something haunting about it.
Okay. Anything deserted is quite haunting.
Yes. I tell you what else I find haunting is like train stations that aren't
There's loads of tube stations, aren't there?
Oh, yeah.
Very scary. The Strand used to have a tube station.
Yes, I think you can still see it from above the ground. So, we've got...
nothing to do with what we're planning on talking about.
Nothing.
Today.
We were going to talk about loss because of the constant, incessant loss of public figures from British life. Again, if you're an international listener, you're not going to enjoy that.
But, sorry.
Soz.
But so we've already mentioned Bowie on a previous podcast, but then Alan Rickman died a couple of weeks later.
Alan Rickman.
Who I love.
Yeah.
Great actor.
Great actor.
Brilliant. And then Terry Wogan died
Terry
yesterday.
Terry Wogan, yeah.
Who's like a legend of British radio.
Yeah, yeah.
And Children in Need. It's just like this constant like...
barrage.
Yes, it feels like...
of mourning.
London, England's been in grieving since...
well, the whole...
the new year. The whole country.
The whole country.
Did I say England or did I say
London?
England. I said England.
But yeah, I feel the whole of the United Kingdom and everything around it, I'm sure.
And the Republic of Ireland.
And I'm sure the Republic of Ireland with Terry. But yeah, because I did an interview on BBC Radio London yesterday.
Clang.
Clang. And I saw Tony Blackman. Tony Blackman was rushed off his feet doing... tributes about Terry Wogan. I didn't realise he was such a great friend of Terry Wogan's.
Yeah, well, I think he must be because they're the only, they're like two of the only ones that are left from that radio.
Well, they're not.
No, 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 but they are now just... are still allowed to be on the radio and they haven't been caught in sort of some terrible BBC drama that happened in the 70s. They're the only two that were still, hey, they're good guys. They were good
they
guys.
They are good guys, really, yeah.
So I guess he was just rushed off his feet.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. He must have been very busy.
Very busy.
Very busy. But, yeah.
But it's strange that lost thing, isn't it? Because it's when you don't know someone.
Mm.
You know, my Twitter feed and my Facebook feed were just full of people sort of remembering moments of like listening to the radio when something like important happened in their life. Or,
yeah.
And it's interesting, isn't it, how like, I think especially radio, you know, because, or you know, yeah, radio or TV or whatever, but like, you know, you it's often sort of quite a solitary thing.
Very solitary.
And I listen to radio a lot when I'm driving to gigs or whatever, and you have that sort of...
that's what they said. That was one of the articles about him, actually, said, like, he understood the golden rule of radio, which was, you're always only speaking to one person. Did you read that too?
No, I just...
oh, you just guessed it.
You just
probably looked up the golden rules of radio before you did this podcast.
I've been listening to them forever.
Who just happened to glance at an article this morning. But on via Twitter. But, you know, like, in the past, I've always been quite... I've been quite mocking of a lot of that public mourning, displays of grief. And I have actually done material about it. But I wouldn't dream of doing the material on this podcast. But...
here it is.
Here it is. Okay, guys, you're going to love it. Okay, sit down. No, just like people I went to school with and... or just anybody just going... just kind of like writing their like... their contribution.
Yeah.
And I always kind of feel like, oh, calm down. Like, no one... like you, I suppose you're allowed to.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like, if you actually have an opinion, I think people just think, "Oh God, I better tell everyone that I like."
Yeah, it's
Tony,
almost like
Terry Wogan, because otherwise people assume that I hate him.
Yes, and I think that's the difference, and that's the era we live in, where people go, "Oh, I'd better put my stamp on it."
Yeah, which is really strange.
Yes, very, very strange. Very like I don't think our parents would do that.
No.
Like I remember writing a condolence card to it was a teacher who lost her husband when I was a teenager, and I was writing a condolence card and I didn't know what to write, and my dad just went, "Thoughts and best wishes are with you, Tom. That's all you have to write." And I was like, "But shouldn't I put like really sorry for your loss, hope you're doing okay?" And dad was like, "No, you just put thoughts, best wishes, Tom." And that's like,
is that what you wrote in the end?
Yeah, I just wrote thoughts, best wishes, Tom. Because I think back in the day people didn't like elaborating on grief.
No, and I think it was more of a private thing.
Yeah, private grief.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's very... although, do you mean Queen Victoria was very...
oh, she loved it, didn't she?
She wore black for 40 years or something?
Something like that, yeah. She loved it, she loved it. But apparently, she was not as prudish as people always assume. Like, her and Albert were always at it.
At it?
At it, I said it.
Is that why it's called a Prince Albert?
Well, I don't know. I did read a biography of him from Bromley Library, Bromley Central Library, great library.
Clang.
Guys. Clang. I'm a member. And I think that I feel like Bromley Central Library, Prince Albert biography, it didn't mention the piercing rumour. But I don't know. Apparently she used to like it that he went and inspected the troops when he didn't have any pants on. She liked the thought of that. And she'd look from the window and go, "Oh, I know. He's... commando."
Oh, wow. That's quite fun.
Oh,
see,
yeah.
She didn't... apparently, the reason that being a lesbian's never been illegal is because she didn't believe in it.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, homosexuality was always illegal, but being a gay woman, they couldn't do you for it. They couldn't touch you for it.
Couldn't do you for it. Is that right? Because of her, she didn't believe in it.
And apparently it's because she didn't believe that it really happened.
Oh.
Banksy did a quite a famous painting of...
yeah. What was she doing?
Victoria sitting on a woman's face.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
But yeah, fun fact.
Ooh, well, that wasn't mentioned by Judi Dench. Wasn't that a great portrayal? Do you remember that? When Judi Dench did that? Oh, it was good, wasn't it? Oh, was that... That was Mrs. Brown?
Yes.
Not Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Not Mrs. Brown's Boys.
The sequel.
The sequel, yeah. Very different. They really took it in a new direction.
No one's picked up on that.
No, maybe we should.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good, though, Billy Connolly. Oh,
great.
He's very good in that.
Very good.
Did they both get Oscars for it?
I think so.
It's Oscar bait, isn't it? You've got a royal. You've got somebody who used to be a comedian.
Oh, God, the dream.
I mean, not used to be a comedian. He's still a comedian.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at that point, he wasn't touring.
Yeah.
He was just concentrating on the acting.
Well, very busy. It's a lot of concentrating to do.
Oh, it's a lot of concentrating when you're doing, you know, a gilly in love with Queen Victoria.
Queen V.
Queen Vu, did you call her?
Queen V.
Oh, Queen V.
Like everyone calls Beyonce Queen B.
Oh, Queen V.
Why not?
Mm. It feels like the sort of thing that Jerry Halliwell would have said, oh, Queen Victoria, she was a Spice Girl.
Yeah.
So far, I think everybody can agree. We know exactly where we are.
We know exactly.
We've almost finished the structure. Oh, no. Oh, no, hang on. No, we're all right for the story. What were you going to say about...
I mean, let's...
I don't know why I find
Tom, you're not allowed to come
funny.
When you're hungover.
I beg your pardon. I'm not that hungover. I'm not that
You've
hungover.
Got sick all over your jumper. He doesn't.
I don't. I was just liberally WhatsApping. That's what I did. Oh. I'm in a WhatsApp group now.
Who with?
Rob Beckett.
Oh, God.
And, I feel really, really connected.
To the world?
Yeah.
That's good.
I think I'll be... What's Snapchat?
It's where you take a picture and or like do like a little video thing, but it only lasts about 5 seconds or 10 seconds. Then you send it to someone, and once they've watched it, it's deleted from their phone.
Oh.
I think the kids use it to sort of send pictures of their genitals.
Oh,
know,
really?
Like the kids do.
Goodness.
Actually, when I say kids, I obviously mean like 18-year-olds.
Well, I don't... Is that... But I don't know. Is that like a phenomenon that should be discussed on Radio 4?
What? I imagine Women's Hour would have... I bet Jerry Money's done a bit on it.
Oh, I bet Jenny Murray's all over that. Do you remember... Is that what we got sent? We won't say who it was, but we got sent a picture of somebody's genitals.
We did.
And he said, please don't look at this. And of course we totally did.
Looked at it. Yeah, that was... Yeah, we were out, weren't we? And a fellow comedian...
Who shall remain nameless.
Texted me saying, oh my God, I've just sent you a Snapchat. Please don't open it.
I mean...
It's my penis. And so Tom and I obviously immediately looked.
And then was it deleted from our...
And then it was deleted from life. And then we just sent a picture back of us looking disgusted.
Oh, I think I probably would have looked quite thrilled.
And I look disgusted. That's about right, isn't it?
Look, so... loss is the theme.
Oh, God.
Loss of dignity.
Saying?
Loss of dignity. That's very...
Oh,
people
very good.
People,
very
cerebral
good,
people pick up on that. You were going to say about being dumped...
Well, I was... No, I said to you that thing that... We were talking about loss, and one of my friends...
What we like to do before the podcast is we go, oh, I've got a thing. We go, don't tell us now. Save it for the podcast. Great. Really professional. Like
really?
That.
No, I think that's the
I think that is
we do in radio, isn't it?
Yeah.
Save the story.
Save the story. Yeah, let's save it. Let's save it for... What is it? Keep your powder dry. Have you heard that?
No.
Keep your powder... I think people say it in stand-up. They say it quite a lot of like...
I mean, I've been doing it for a while. I've never heard it.
Keep... Is it right? Like, keep the gunpowder dry so it lights...
Oh, what, so don't use it all up?
And don't kind of get it damp.
I mean, what does that mean?
Listen, I was drinking mead, I've got gunpowder. What's happened to me? What has happened to me?
You're wearing trainers?
Shh, don't tell people that. Do not...
Tom's turned up in trainers. In our 5 years of friendship, I've never seen him not in a boot or a shoe.
Have you not? Oh, I got some new boots,
or
actually.
Or a slipper.
From Clarks. I'm wearing the trainers because I think I've got a driving lesson after this.
Tom only goes to his driving lessons in trainers, which really makes me laugh.
I have to have comfortable shoes for driving.
You're not allowed to wear heels.
Because I can't wear heels. That's what they say, isn't it? So I can't wear
my
heels.
Very similar to if you're in a plane crash and you've got to go down one of those slide things.
Yeah.
That always makes me laugh, the sign of the women taking off their heels.
Heels. And as if that would even cross anybody's mind. Who flies in heels, though?
Air hostesses have to wear heels.
Oh, yeah. They'd be the first out. They wouldn't care. They would rip that slide with their heels and they would think, to hell with the rest of you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I think. But I'm wearing the trainers because I've got to go to my driving lesson. I hate my driving lessons. I've changed driving instructor.
He's going to lose some business shortly, isn't he? He's going to have a loss of earnings.
Well, I really liked him at first. And then he just became a bit, I don't know, like critical of me. I'm not very good at being criticized.
I mean, he's teaching you.
Yeah, but
to
I don't
drive.
Like to be taught. I like to be told I'm really good.
Well, yeah, which we all like that. I mean, it's amazing that you've ended up in this profession. But oh, I just want strangers to tell me I'm good. Clap for me, let me do my dance. That is exactly what I think the comedian, when people say, oh God,
is that what I do?
Being a comedian, you're so brave. And I think it's so pathetic. I go it on is. Stage every night being like, hi, students, hi, teenage, hey, hi. Do you like me? Do you like me yet? Am I a popular person yet? Am I popular now? Oh, clap for me.
You should write some different material to that, though.
It's never worked.
I love the idea of you coming out just doing a dance and then getting everyone to clap.
Well, it's because I can tap dance. Clang.
Clang, yeah. But
people
also not clang
me,
because, yeah, I'll go on what people
have said to me, why don't you do that in your show?
No, I was just about to say the same thing.
But what,
I think
how
I'm the people who say that.
How could I very casually slip in some tap dancing into an Edinburgh comedy show where I talk about, like, my past or my present or my future? I talk about other things too.
Well, you know, Fred Astaire did it.
I don't think I'm trying to emulate Fred Astaire's career.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, the chance
you do.
Be fine,
yeah, the way, yeah, well, the way you look tonight. I think you could throw it in.
I love
you could do it on this podcast. You love what?
I love those shows where, like, you know, there's like a show like with Dame Diana Rigg.
Oh.
Or with Honor Blackman or someone like that. And when I was touring with Josh Widdicombe,
clang,
we would often see these posters of, like, you know, an evening with.
Oh, yes, yes.
Honor Blackman or an
evening.
Oh,
you always
with,
get that, like, you know, like Buxton Opera House or somewhere. Yeah.
I love the idea of, because I imagine they go from stories straight into songs.
Yeah,
and
I
would
bet
be
they
like,
do.
And here are a few of my favourite things. Raindrops on
Well, Julie Andrews did that, didn't she? She did a talkie one, but she couldn't do the singing because she's hurt her voice. So she had to have, like, someone else singing.
Oh, God.
Doing like an impersonation.
You don't go and see Julie Andrews to watch someone else sing.
No.
Jules.
Well, you can't say that to her. But
well, she can't say anything back to you.
She can't. But, well, I would like to go and see one of those shows. I'm amazed that we haven't booked that.
I feel like that's probably something we'll do in Edinburgh this year.
Oh, yes, because sometimes they are trialled in Edinburgh as well. Who did it? Nancy DeLolio, didn't she do one
Nancy
at one point?
Nancy DeLolio did one.
Unusual choice, you might say.
Who is thinking, oh, God, I'd love to know what Sven-Göran Eriksson's ex-wife's up to.
Well,
is she famous for a thing other than being married to him? Being married to someone that was quite an unsuccessful England manager.
Yeah, he was heavily criticised, wasn't he? I seem to remember. I mean, I don't know much about football.
Oh, that surprises me. What, with all the mead?
With all the beer drinking. Beer drinking with the lads down the pub. It was a really posh pub, actually, in Greenwich. I don't know what she had to say. I think she probably was like slagging everyone off. I think it was probably quite a bitchy show. I don't think Honor Blackman's An Evening With would have been like that.
No. And that show was 2.4 children.
Oh.
Things like that, I should say.
Yeah. Was that what it's called? No, what was the one she was in?
She was in 2.4 children. She was the grandma.
No, it wasn't 2.4 children, which I did love. But it was something else. It was like with one of the McGann brothers.
Call in.
Listeners, if you know, call in. Oh,
on the number we've never given you.
And they lived in that massive house.
Yeah. No, that's not, you're right, it's not 2.4 children.
2.4 children lived in a small house. And she was really funny, the mum in that. Now, why isn't she in more things?
I don't know.
She's a great loss.
A great loss to British television.
She would be really good. I really like 2.4 children. I used to think it was so funny.
It was great.
I wonder if it's still funny.
Probably not.
Because the mum was always quite like, she was.
Oh, I'm really angry. Her name, she had like a boy's name as well. Her name was like Bern or
Brian.
No, it was like Bern for like Bernadette or Bill for Belinda or something like that.
What, in the show or in real life?
Yeah, in the show. Random facts that I'm remembering, guys. But yes, breakup. See, one of my friends, back to the theme. Come on, guys.
We're doing so well
with our theming.
Yeah.
My friend, Rosie, who was very funny about a breakup once, when she said that when you break up with someone, it's like they've died, but they haven't done the respectful thing and actually died. Because it's true, isn't it? All of a sudden, someone's gone from your life. Or if you have like a breakup with a friendship or whatever.
Or a driving instructor.
All of a sudden, and then you remember them, don't you? You go, oh, God.
Yeah.
I wonder what ever happened to him.
Yeah. I mean, if I break up with this driving instructor.
Yeah.
Because I'm feeling like if he's going to be as critical to me as he was last time, I just lost all my confidence. If he's going to be critical to me like that again, I feel like I'm just going to put the indicator on. I'm going to pull over to the left and be like, Harry, this isn't working for me. I've never been able to do that.
Oh my God.
Never been able to do that.
Harry, this isn't working for me.
God, I said his name, didn't I? I do really like him and I want this to work. I really want this to work out, but I don't know how to make it work.
It's very tricky.
Yeah, he wears really nice jumpers. And he was really upset.
So it's not all bad.
But, so it's not, don't think. And he was really sad when David Bowie died, which surprised me. As I didn't think he'd be a David Bowie fan. But he was. He said he was really upset. And then I thought, oh, this is going really well. I could see us being friends. Maybe I'll see him in a pub in Pittswood and be like, oh, hello, Harry.
I fancy
like
a mead.
Yeah, I'll get you a mead. And
I'll get the meads in.
But I don't see that now. I feel like he's become quite critical, quite a horrible
presence in your
presence
life.
In my life. I dread seeing him. So, loss. Oh, I've written here losing things, but I think I never know how to spell lose.
And I
think
no, neither do I. Is that losing things?
Losing things.
Losing that's things, yeah.
Loose. I always put it as loose, because I think it's like lose, but it's not. It's L-O-S-E, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, to me, I don't really know. You're asking me. I'm so dyslexic.
You said to me, oh, I'll tell the story. So you should tell this now, the story of when you had...
Okay, so I had two or three comedians in my house, one of whom was Phil Wang. Very funny guy.
Very funny guy. I feel for the other ones, yeah, who aren't remembered.
David Elms, I think, and then one other comic as well, who's... I've done a lot of journeys with those guys, so I don't know. Anyway, they turned up to my house.
Hugely flattering.
Hugely.
I mean, to Phil Wang, certainly. He does deserve to be remembered, but...
It's not going to upset the other one. They're not going to know, unless they're big fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows? Anyway, so they were all at my house. I was driving us to a show, a gig... They turned up and we were all like literally about to walk out the house and I couldn't find the car key.
Oh no, where was it?
Well, it was, we looked for half an hour.
Oh no.
And like slowly I'm getting like hotter and redder.
Oh
and,
my
like,
God.
It's so embarrassing because people who I know, but like I don't know really well, I don't know them like, you know, I don't know their middle names or when their birthday is. Like, they're not, I don't know your middle name, I don't know when your birthday is.
That's true.
So
okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like a proper friend.
Yeah.
I haven't got their landlines. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they...
Did they have to go through all your things with you?
Yeah, they had to help me.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, like they
private
like
things.
Sorry.
Some private. Did they have to go through private things?
You suggested that, like I was like, check the lingerie. Make sure it's not in a gusset.
Phil, do you mind going through all the drawers in my bedroom, please?
Could you imagine, especially the bottom one on the left hand side?
Start with that one.
No, I. It was so embarrassing because I, but these people were like, we're all stuck there. We were going to like somewhere in Wales because I'm always getting in Wales.
Huge in Wales, by the way, guys.
I'm always in Wales. And they're all at my house. It's so embarrassing. They're like going through all my stuff and like, they like had to pull my sofa cushions out.
Oh, how embarrassing.
And, like, they're like, oh, God. And, oh my God, eventually I found it.
Where was it?
In my underwear drawer.
Oh, it was there. Phil had done a better job.
I had to, I think what must have happened is I put it on the side and then I opened the drawer or I shut the drawer and it must have fallen in.
Oh, because you've got that really interesting stencil thing by your door, which I always admire.
My stencil like, thing that says, don't forget.
Don't forget your keys.
And don't forget like, your keys, your phone.
And your iPod or something.
And your iPod. It's quite dated.
It's quite dated, actually.
Because it's got a phone and iPod and now obviously those things are merged in my life.
They've merged. They've melted, as you would say. I miss the days of an iPod, though. I think iPhones, I'm just like, oh, I just got, there's no room. It's always full. But I do download quite a lot of songs on the go.
All that porn.
It's mainly porn that I've made of myself on Snapchat.
Oh, yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And, keep me busy.
And emails from Waitrose Florist, who I bought
or
my mum some.
Les Iguanas.
Or Les Iguanas, the lesbian reptile club. And Waitrose Florist, I sent my mum some flowers on Mother's Day when I was away doing a gig on Mother's Day from Waitrose Florist. They, like 7 years later, they're still emailing me.
Highlight the fact that the way that you said that, it sounded like you were working for Waitrose. You went, I sent some flowers from Waitrose Florist. It was Mother's Day, so I thought Waitrose Florist, and so I was away, so I went to Waitrose Florist.
We are actually touting for sponsorship of this podcast, so if Waitrose Florist want
to get in touch,
that's what we're emailing about.
Let's do it.
We promised ourselves we would finish at 24 minutes today.
It's 24, 37, 8,
yeah, because apparently 25 is too long.
40.
Which I don't know. I think...
Text in. Call us.
Do call in. You know the number. Free phone. Oh, do you remember the number from, I bet you do, from Live and Kicking?
No, do you?
0845-811-8181.
Yes.
I think it was 0845 at the beginning.
Let's all ring it now together.
And then there was the phone gambling scandal of the mid-2000s.
Oh, yeah, when it was like, actually, you're not being
it's not
in a drawer
at all.
It's
not
a pound.
Your keys. It's a pound. Yeah, and you're just wasting a pound. Oh, that was sad, wasn't it? That's for the other news broke that was...
And that's the thing, that people losing. That was a loss.
Oh, Susie, thank God you're here to bring it round to this great... I mean, when you said, like, let's do it about loss, I thought, ooh.
Well, I thought we could be quite sincere for a change, but turns out absolutely not.
No, but I feel like I covered, you know, enough about...
Your driving instructor.
Which is what I actually wanted to get off my chest today. So now we've gone over 25 minutes, which is what we were told we weren't supposed to do.
And we've not stayed to theme.
And we've not had any structure or stayed on the theme at all.
Thank you so much for listening.
I am doing a show at London's Glittering Soho Theatre on the 11th through 13th of February, and I'd love it if you could come and join me. It's a show I did in Edinburgh last year. I'm very proud of it. Tickets are available at tomindeed.com or on the Soho Theatre website. Thank you very much. Would love to see you there.
Go and see Tom. He's brilliant. He'll make you laugh.
You're biased.
He'll make you laugh so much.
Thank you for listening. Remember, Craig David listens to this as well.
Remember that. If you take one thing from this,
Craig David.
All over you. Wow.
Because Dan, the producer today, not the usual Talia, suggested that we should just sing our names.
Sing
like
our
does.
Names occasionally. Just yeah. Susie Ruffel.
Tom Allen.
Thank you for listening to Like-Minded Friends.
Oh, God.
Please join us again next week.
Oh, yeah. We will be talking about, well, God knows.
We'll decide then.
Yeah.
Thank
right.
you. Bye.
Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffel, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.